You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. I'm your host, Jash Kriplani. Amid an uncertain market environment, mutual funds are looking to offer low-risk options to investors. Several fund houses are launching multi-asset funds, which diversify across different asset classes to reduce single asset class risk. In today's episode, we are joined by Anthony Haredia, MD and CEO of Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund, to decode what investors can expect from the different multi-asset funds that are operating in the industry.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
So Anthony, we wanted to chat with you today about multi-asset funds. Right now, we are seeing a lot of interest in multi-asset funds from both investors as well as from the fund house side. Why is that? Can you share your thoughts on this?
I would say there are a number of reasons. I don't think there's one singular reason. I think the first is there a potential alternative to, you know, equity, which perhaps comes at lower volatility, but still aims to deliver returns that are higher than inflation, perhaps not as exciting as equity, but is there a potential product that can meet those requirements? The second is fixed income, especially after the tax law changes in March or April, and leading up to the early part of this year, where there is a wide expectation that we will start to see interest rates coming off, is a good opportunity, but perhaps from a tax, post-tax perspective is not as great. Is there another opportunity or a product that can perhaps provide an alternative? And I would say if you mix both of the two together, then multi-asset as a category is probably a product that is probably the most appropriate product that provides a reasonable answer to both of those questions being raised. And the third element being that, you know, if you actually start looking at statistics, you discover that I think because of how the dollar rupee or the currency gain has transpired over the last so many years and decades, gold is a very, very decent and interesting opportunity as well. So if you bundle all of these things together, can I access equity but perhaps at lower levels of risk? Can I take advantage of lowering fixed income or interest rates and provide some kind of stable but a little bit of excitement to fixed income? And can I have an element of gold that provides, you know, a slightly more enduring, longer-term perspective? I think multi-asset is a category that probably answers that, and which is why you see a rising amount of interest amongst investors, and obviously, therefore, the fund houses themselves, you know, making sure that they have the right products in that space.
Right. For the benefit of our listeners, can you break down how a multi-asset fund works? Where does it invest? What are the segments or asset classes it invests in? And what are the asset classes it stays away from? Can you break it down for us?
Let me start just with the technical definition in terms of what SEBI allows multi-asset funds to do or ensures that they do at a bare minimum, which is all multi-asset funds should always at any point in time have at least three asset classes represented in the portfolio, with the minimum allocation to each asset class being at least 10%. So that's the first starting point. Second, if you had to have three asset classes, obviously the core asset classes that we would expect to be represented are equity, fixed income, and gold. Now, because this is multi-asset, what are the other asset classes potentially that can deliver returns to a customer over time? I would say there would be two other asset classes that come immediately to mind. One would be commodities, and the second would be real estate. So to some degree, I would say a multi-asset product, therefore, is something that over time in its portfolio will have exposures to equity, fixed income, and gold as a primary construct, and will have tactical allocations perhaps to commodities and real estate as a secondary construct. You mix all of these things together to kind of ensure that you deliver a risk return kind of profile to the customer that helps them deal with long-term goals that they want to achieve.
And also Mahindra Manulife is going to be launching a multi-asset fund in a day or two. So how is that fund going to be structured? Where will it invest? In what allocation? What proportions? Can you take us through that?
Yes, sir. So yeah, we're quite excited. We have a launch of a multi-asset fund starting tomorrow. There, again, I will use
that
the same...
That is on, just to be specific, that is 28th Feb, right? Is when you...
Yeah, that's 20th Feb to 5th March. So 20th...
That's the NFO period.
That's the NFO period. And then obviously, right, it opens for ongoing subscriptions pretty much in the week after that. So okay, the primary construct, again, like I explained, will be equity, fixed income and gold. We would believe that equity, we would look, depending on what markets, valuations, the models that we use tell us, range between 35 to 80% at any point in time. Fixed income will range from a minimum of 10%, which I explained was a SEBI construct, to probably a maximum of 50, 55%. And gold would be between 10 to maybe 30%. That would be the primary construct. The secondary construct that we would believe we will use over time, I don't expect that we will use it pretty much in the first 3 to 6 months, is looking at potentially anything between 0 to 20% in a mix of real estate, which we would probably do via real estate investment trusts, commodities, which you can do through commodity ETFs, where the primary focus for us would be either silver, because silver, if you look at it, has some very interesting correlations with gold per se, and oil, which we believe is a very important commodity, which has a correlation or a diversification to how the Indian economy and therefore equity markets do. And the third bucket over time will potentially, when limits, etc., open, would be international equity as well. Because again, the idea is, can you diversify such that you deliver an optimal return, but through that diversification, you're basically cutting down potentially the risk of achieving that return. So that's really what we look to do. Primary construct, like I said, equity, fixed income and gold. Secondary construct,
can you just recap the rough allocations, please, Anthony?
So the rough allocations would be, equity would be 35 to 80%.
Okay.
And given where our models are currently, we think equity will be in any case closer to 50-55% in okay, terms of allocation.
Okay.
Fixed income would range between 10 to 55%. Okay. And we think at this juncture, it's probably closer to maybe 20-25%.
Okay.
And gold, silver and other commodities, minimum of 10%, can go up to 35%. At okay, this juncture, we think we'll be probably between 10 to 20% in terms of gold, silver. We right, don't expect in the initial months to do commodity ETFs. And obviously, given that limits are at this point not available, international right, equities perhaps will not happen, at least in 24.
Right. So what kind of tax treatment would this translate into for the investors?
The tax treatment, just for us, would be the hybrid taxation, which means that if an investor holds it for 3 years right, or more, effectively gets treated as indexation benefit and post-indexation 20%, okay, which is kind of roughly equivalent to close to 10%. But obviously, if an investor holds it for less than 3 years, then the investor right, pays the marginal rate of tax. Now, the right, next question would be, why have you chosen this tax rate? Wouldn't you have rather chosen the equity taxation route? Two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is, if I have to do justice to multi-asset, meaning mm-hmm, really take advantage of dislocations in asset prices or opportunities,
right,
I need to have the ability to be meaningful in these asset classes, right? So
right,
that is the first. So you first make a product, you focus on what returns you can generate, you
yeah,
focus on the tax that the customer pays after that, right? You first right, generate the returns, then only the question of tax comes. So that's the route we took. Just, I know you and I are followers of football, no? So
yeah,
let me give you analogy from a footballing perspective.
Sure.
So I can construct a team. Every football team obviously has forwards, midfielders and defenders, right?
Right.
Think of that as equity, fixed income and gold. Now, am I constructing a team that says I will score more goals than you at any point in time? So therefore, I put my team full of attackers. Think of it as equity. Or do I believe that I have a slightly more balanced framework? I have stars across my defense, across my midfield, across my equity, and my aim is primarily to eventually win the game, right?
Right.
At the end of the 90 minutes. My aim is not to win the game in the first half. And right. So I think we are probably taking that route right. that our team is filled with forwards, midfielders and defenders. We are not going with a forward heavy strategy.
Right. Again, that's a very good way of explaining how you guys will be working with your fund. But for the benefit of listeners, and since this category is now being tracked and people are a lot more interested, can you also help our listeners understand how the multi-asset fund ecosystem works, how different MAFs are differently designed and have different allocations? Can you tell us about their equity allocation, debt allocation, and you know, how does the maths work from the industry perspective? Because there are so many MAFs already out there.
No, great question, Jash. And I think for investors, that's a bit of a struggle, right? Because
right.
let me give you a simple example. I'll give you an analogy first.
Right.
I have a large cap fund. You have
I'm
a
disappointed
large cap.
It's not another football analogy.
Ah, okay.
No, it's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. So, you know, my large cap fund will be 80% invested in stocks in the first 100. Your large okay. cap fund will be exactly the same. But when it comes to multi-asset, that's no longer the same construct, right? So I would break multi-assets that I've seen in the industry into three parts.
Right.
One is the multi-asset funds that are, I would say, forward heavy. So okay. they're choosing to be 65% gross in equity.
Sure.
Which effectively, I would believe, therefore, those will be slightly more aggressive MAFs and would be an equity minus strategy.
Okay.
On the other spectrum, I've seen a few players choose the defender-heavy strategy, right? Don't concede a goal first and then try and score a goal on the counter-attack. So right. you effectively have a product which is hugging the 35% equity more often than not and using right. arbitrage as a portion of that. And the large portion of your return is being driven by fixed income and then a slight allocation to gold. Right. And so that is the second category, which is a debt or a very conservative multi-asset fund. The right. third is the one that we are looking at, which is kind of the balanced one, which is I will be between 35 to 80% in equity based on the opportunity I see.
Right.
I will be between 10 to 55 in fixed income based on the opportunity I see. So that's kind of a balanced approach to saying right. over time, my fund will sit between fixed income and equity in terms of from an investor construct standpoint. So these, I would say, are the three buckets of multi-asset funds. I'll just end with one statement.
Yeah.
I think it's useful for a customer to have all three types in his or her portfolio. Yeah. But one additional statement I would definitely make is you must have a multi-asset or a couple of multi-asset funds in your portfolio, because I think in the last 1 year, if I look at just industry flows,
yeah.
virtually 95% of it is in equity. And I think if one thing I've learned over 30 years in this business, diversification is worth its weight in gold, you know, excuse the pun. And so it's important to kind of allocate more money to multi-asset funds, not just to small cap, mid cap, multi cap, flexi cap.
Sure. And Anthony, one more thing, if we can, you know, quickly recap, because this has become slightly technical category also from investors' perspective after taxation changes. So I'm just trying to summarize how taxation works in this category. If the MAF is investing up to 35% in equity, there won't be any indexation benefit as it was earlier. If it is 35, you get indexation benefit if you hold on to the investments for more than 3 years. So 20% plus indexation benefit, if I'm correct. And if your MAF is investing 65% in equity, what you get is equity taxation benefit, LTCG, which is after 1 year of holding, 10% tax on the gains, right?
Yes, just absolutely well captured. I mean, one of the other ways to say it's so below 35 yeah. and 65, these are the three operative terms. I will hazard one comment, bit of fortune telling.
Right.
You see the statements that the finance minister has been making in consecutive budgets over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
The government is going on record saying, we believe investment products should be bought on merit of the product, not on the tax arbitrage.
Right.
Right. So
right.
I would tell investors, be quite careful. Don't focus on the tax, because those tax arbitrages probably right. 2-3 years down the line, when
right.
it's time for you to redeem, may not actually exist. Right. So go with the investment merit of the product. Leave the tax to a point when you've actually made a return.
And Anthony, you know, probably closing comments. how should an investor look at MAF in terms of what returns the investor can expect, and what kind of investor should go for MAF? Because, of course, there are still people who can handle the equity-related volatility, who have the capacity to hold on to the equity investment for the longer term. And as we all always say, that over time, the volatility linked to equity eventually evens out, and of course, returns are decent. I mean, from if we look at other developed markets. So, any kind of closing guidance for our listeners on that?
So, just indulge me a little bit. I'll give you two answers: one with a sporting analogy again, and then one a little more financial in nature.
Sure.
The sport I'll pick this time is tennis, right? So, India, from an economy perspective, long term looks like a great story. No doubt about it, right? So, fundamentally, equity is the best way to play it. So think of it saying that I am a player who likes to play tennis, full stop.
Right.
But we both know that the style of tennis you play on a grass court is slightly different from a clay court. It's slightly different from a hard court.
Right.
And to our mind, over the next 3 to 5 years, the playing surface is going to keep changing from grass to clay to hard courts. And effectively, that's why you use multi-asset, which basically changes your playing style slightly. You're still the same player, but you orient your playing style from serve and volley to baseline to whatever else it is, to make sure that eventually at the end of those 3 or 5 years, you are a good tennis player and you have a strong ranking. That's the objective. Come in terms of financial terms, I would say that if your belief or most people's consensus belief is that over a 5 year period, equity should deliver slightly higher than double-digit returns, so let's say 12% compounded, then I would believe MAFs, which are, and I bucket MAFs, especially the equity-oriented and the balanced types like we are doing, into one bucket. I think MAFs will come in at a percent or two below that, with probably 50% less heartache. That's the way I would position it, right? Because we keep using the word risk. Risk is a financial term. I kind of describe risk as the ability to sleep soundly at night.
Okay.
Right? And let's say that is heartache in that sense. So 1-2% lower return potentially at 50% of the heartache or the ability to sleep soundly is what I would describe a MAF return expectation to be.
Right. Well, I don't know much about sleep since I have a newborn at home. So that will take time for me to figure out.
Just if I may, I've been through this. If I may make you feel better, I just discussed 3 to 5 years when she's or he's five years old. Then she this will become relevant, right?
Now
it feels like this is not a grass court, this is not a hard court, this seems like I'm playing tennis in a badminton court.
right. Sure. Anything else you wanted to add, Anthony?
Not really. I'm just reiterating. I think of multi-asset virtually as a product that everybody must have. If there's one product I believe will be a central figure in the mutual fund industry 20, 30, 40 years from now, it is this product. Fashion will change from small, mid cap, large cap, etc., etc. But multi-asset will become a co-category just like it is globally, right? In the globe, amongst large asset managers, asset allocation or multi-asset portions are virtually, in many cases, almost as large as their equity and fixed income. It's almost like a third significant asset class. And I believe that will happen in this category over the next couple of decades.
Thanks a lot for joining us today. And that's a very nice way to end this conversation. We have to see how the industry evolves, how Indian investors evolve, where do they move to an asset allocation category like multi-asset funds. But great, Anthony, great having you here. And thanks for sharing all those insights. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you liked this episode and would like to hear to more such interesting conversations, do log into our channel Why Not Mint Money on Spotify, where you'd always find me omnipresent. Also, if you have any new ideas or suggestions, you can DM me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @ Jash Kriplani, that is JASHKRIPLANI. You can always reach out to us over the email. Our email ID is mintmoney@livemint.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.